Word of the Lord. To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder, a witness of Christ's sufferings, and one who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not greedy for money, but eager to serve. Not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. This is the reading of God's Word. Now let's go to Him in prayer. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we do thank You for this opportunity we have to hear from Your Word again. We pray that Your Spirit would work in our hearts and search our hearts and cause us to understand our need to be guided, our need to be protected, and the means that You have provided to do those things. Help us to submit to Your Word and to hear it with joy this morning. We pray for this in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the most common problems people have today in our culture is a disdain and a distrust for authority, especially the authority of church leaders. One of the most common criticisms of the church and our culture is the moral failures of her leaders. And so the media loves to expose those failures. And it creates an impression that most church leaders are just there to use and abuse their power for their own benefit. And sadly, many have done that. And as we see in this passage, that was a problem even back then, during the days of the apostles. And many will use the failures of church leaders as an excuse to reject the need for any authority. Now, they have a deep distrust of authority. And that may be understandable if you have suffered injustice from an authority figure. But to reject all authority is a sinful overreaction to that problem. And one problem with rejecting authority is that as human beings, we were created to follow authority. It's hardwired into your nature. And the Bible says that we are like sheep. And try as you may to avoid it, you will always follow someone like a sheep. When you reject God's authority, all you're really doing is replacing God with another authority. And even if you say, well, I'm my own authority, well, you'll still have to rely on someone else to guide you. Maybe that guide is a religious leader, a politician, a philosopher, a scientist, a group of friends, or a romantic partner, a talk show host, or whatever that person or philosophy may be. Whoever you trust to give you the most reliable information to live by, that is the authority you are following, like a sheep. And it's impossible to escape the need for authority. And even anarchists will quote other anarchists to justify their anarchy. All right, so the real question is, what kind of authority are you following? And what kind of authority did God design you to follow? Okay, authority itself is not evil. Okay, only the abuse of authority is evil. Okay, when authority is used the way God commands, it actually leads to human flourishing and protection, not oppression and injustice. In this passage today, God explains the kind of authority He set up in the church so that people, His people would be protected and nurtured like sheep, even in a hostile environment. And God instituted the office of elder and equipped certain men to serve in this way and to minister to the sheep, the same way Christ had ministered to them. So as we look at this passage today, I just want to focus on two main points. We'll look at the call for elders and then the goal for elders. Okay, the call and the goal for elders. And my hope for you today is that you will better understand and appreciate this God-appointed role of elder. As you consider nominations right now, I'll use this passage as a guide to help you. So let's look at our first point. That's the call for elders. And Peter, as he's already done before, has provided some deep thoughts and principles in just a few words. That he's a master at doing this. So let's just unpack several things here that he has in this call for elders. First, it's a public call. You notice it's a public call. He says in verse 1, to the elders among you. and he explains their duties publicly for all to hear. And there's many reasons for that. One is that it helps the entire church know what to look for and expect in their leaders. And even unbelievers are free to look into these things as they consider Christianity in the Scriptures. Everyone can know what an elder should be like. And this held the elders accountable as well. And it also told the church what to pray for in her elders. And this helps people, and especially young men, to have an example of what kind of character to work toward in their own spiritual growth. And so this is a public call. But this is also a Christ-like call. Notice again in verse 1, he says, I appeal as a fellow elder, a witness of Christ's sufferings, and one who will share in the glory to be revealed. Now Peter used a common pattern that we've seen already in throughout this letter. It's that dual theme of suffering and glory. And over again, he's repeated that theme, suffering and glory. That describes your present experience and your future hope. Suffering and glory. And here, Peter takes that pattern and uses it to encourage the elders in their work. He identified himself as a fellow elder. And as a fellow shepherd, he called the other shepherds to serve the chief shepherd and to serve like the chief shepherd. He spoke as one elder to another. And he didn't lord his authority over them as an apostle, but he spoke as one in the field with them, as one who personally understood their struggle. And Peter also spoke as one familiar with suffering. And he begins by reminding them of the suffering of Christ. He was an eyewitness of the suffering and the glory of Christ. He saw Jesus die and rise from the dead. He saw Jesus expand his suffering church from a few hundred in Jerusalem to hundreds of congregations across the Roman Empire through the work of the Holy Spirit. Now Peter saw all this and he took part in it. And Peter also followed Christ's pattern of suffering in his own ministry. And he still looked forward in hope. He said that he was one who will share in the glory to be revealed. And he understood the Christ-like pattern of ministry to God's people. Christ, as the good shepherd, laid down his life for his sheep. And Peter also surrendered his life for the good of those sheep, entrusted to his care. And now Peter sets that pattern before the elders. He knew the church and her leadership would continue to suffer, but he also was confident of their future glory. And so Peter reminded the elders that what they should expect now in their labor and what to look forward to in glory. Now they may suffer now, but a crown waits for them later. And so like Christ himself and like Peter, the elders would have to suffer in various ways in their service. Now they can suffer through their own struggles with sin and the world. As public leaders, they could suffer the main onslaught of criticism against the church. And they even suffered attacks and criticism from resistant and hurting sheep in the church. And you can look at other shepherd leaders like Moses and David and Paul. And you see them facing rejection and struggle, not only from outside the church, but from inside as well. Even the people that they care for. And yet, in bearing with those sheep and caring for them, they ministered to the people like Christ himself. This is the pattern of leadership that Peter places before the elder. Now they have a public call and a Christ-like call. But also notice that this is a comprehensive call. He says in verse 2, be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers. And notice the two key words there that Peter used, shepherd and overseer. And these are the same words he used to describe Jesus himself back in chapter 2, and verse 25. He says, for you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. And these words provide great pictures of what an elder's work involves. In the ancient world, the shepherds basically lived with the sheep. They led the sheep through dangerous places to green pastures and fresh water and protected the sheep from predators. As overseers, they had a continuous duty to look over and protect and provide for the sheep in their care. And that is the picture of an elder's service for the people of God, pursuing this Christ-like model of continuous care. And the elder doesn't just work on Sunday. He's responsible for the flock 24/7 and finds ways to keep up with all the sheep. That is comprehensive care. And just, we can describe it in kind of four ways. First of all, elders need to know the sheep. Now, they need to know the sheep by investing time in them, examining them, getting to know their strengths and weaknesses, their joys and struggles, getting an accurate picture of each person so that they know how to care for them. Now, they need to know the sheep. They also need to feed the sheep. Now, the elders are called to provide a healthy diet of God's Word. As God's people, we need instruction in how to live before God. We need warnings about danger. We need encouragement and strength when we are weak. We need to understand the gospel of Christ better. We need forgiveness of sins and grace to repent. And all that comes through feeding upon God's Word, and studying it and taking it into your hearts and minds. And the elder is responsible to provide that diet to the sheep through preaching and teaching and one-on-one counseling. And he must know the sheep and feed the sheep. But he must also protect the sheep. The elders are the guardians of the church. They must protect God's people from false teachers and dangerous individuals who would lead people astray. And usually, those false teachers are not obviously evil. And they usually are very friendly and persuasive and nice as they lure you away from Jesus. And the elder must protect you from those influences and expose their lies. Now, they must protect the sheep. But they also must lead the sheep. In the ancient world, under-shepherds would ultimately lead the flocks to the master's pen. And elders are called to lead God's people in a similar way, helping them to protect them and provide for them in order to bring them closer to Jesus. And the elder's primary function is to lead you to Christ so that you can know Him better. And so this is comprehensive care. Elders must know, feed, protect, and lead the sheep of God's flock, and do so following the attitude and example of Christ Himself. And this is a comprehensive call. And notice that Peter has lumped together both types of elders here. He's not just talking about the teaching elder or the pastor. He addresses ruling elders here as well. Both kinds of elders are called shepherds here, not just the pastor. And as Presbyterians especially, we need to remember this. Both ruling and teaching elders are shepherds and overseers. They may have different ruling or teaching gifts and strengths, but the obligation to shepherd the flock is common to them all. And too often we look at elders or the session, kind of like a board of directors, only responsible for corporate decisions. But elders are required to do more than just that role. Each elder is also responsible to provide individual attention to every member. So you need to look at your ruling elders as pastors in the church as well. Now, the elders, again, they have different functions and strengths among them, but each is responsible to shepherd you. Now, so this is a Christ-like call, it's a public call, and it's a comprehensive call. And also notice that this is an eagerly answered call. It's an eagerly answered call. In verse 2, he says, "Serving as overseers, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not greedy for money, but eager to serve." Hey, elders, you are called to serve Christ willingly and eagerly. And often, some may answer the call, not because they're willing, but because they want praise and approval from men. And they do it because they feel they must, not because they want to serve. But an elder must want to serve. Your heart must be in it. He says there that you serve as God wants you to be. And you must be willing to take on that responsibility. Now, this doesn't mean that you have questions about your own abilities or your adequacy to serve. Every elder has that question in his mind at all times. But the question is, are you still willing to serve and to trust the Lord to use you in that capacity if you're called? Okay, are you willing? And you must be willing to serve whether you profit from it or not. And he says, not greedy for money. But even back then in the early church, there was a temptation to seek leadership a position because of the potential for profit. Paul in Philippians 1:17 talked about men who preach Christ out of selfish ambition. And many still do that today. And Peter here calls the elders to avoid this need for potential profit or financial security in the office. And it should not be the motivation. You must serve because you are eager to serve, whether it profits you or not. And this is, again, it's an eagerly answered call. You serve because you love Christ and you love His sheep. And you consider it an honor to serve in that way, even if you must sacrifice some comforts in order to do it. Okay, you're willing to serve. Now, this is important to keep in mind. If you only serve because you want the approval of men or because you are greedy for money, then you will not be able to shepherd the people of God when they need it most. You might say to yourself, well, I can't confront that person because it will make him mad or make him leave the church. Or you might say, well, this guy is a big giver. Maybe I shouldn't confront him because we will lose his support. Now, sometimes members will even threaten elders with those kind of excuses. And that sometimes shepherding the flock means confronting people who will not appreciate it. And you will need to do the right thing regardless of the consequences. Now, those sheep belong to Christ, not to you. And what will Christ say when he sees that you let one of his sheep go astray, or that you let one of his sheep grow sick and malnourished because you're afraid for your own welfare? And what will Christ say when you didn't trust him enough to take care of you and let him shepherd his sheep through you? All right, so an elder needs to answer this call eagerly and willingly, not for personal profit or approval, but to serve Christ, even when it's not popular among the sheep. So this is an eagerly answered call. Well, finally, this is a call to lead by example. He says in verse 3, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. Okay, shepherds lead their sheep from the front. They never called the sheep to go where they would not go themselves. The shepherds in the ancient world did not drive their sheep like cowboys drive cattle. Okay, the shepherds called their flocks, and then the sheep followed them. And when the sheep went astray, the shepherd went and pursued them and called them back. That's the picture that Peter has in mind. Elders are to lead from the front. And your job as an elder is to follow Christ yourself as you call others to follow him. And you must be a living example of what it means to follow Christ so that others may learn by imitating you. This also means that you must lead at the pace of the flock. Not all the sheep are capable of following at the same speed or ability. Some are less mature than others, some are sick, some are distracted, and so the shepherds need a lot of patience and wisdom as they lead. And shepherds can grow anxious and fearful when they think the flock is not moving fast enough to Christ. But elders, if they are moving toward Christ, they're doing well. And as they learn and mature, they will improve. Now, so don't be discouraged by the slow pace of Christian growth. Now, just keep moving them to Christ. And Peter says that they must not lord their authority over the flock. Okay, elders, must not use your authority hypocritically or selfishly. You are not lords over the sheep. Okay, they must follow your personal example, not your personal agenda. Okay, you must not prop yourself up as a little savior in the church. Okay, there is only one Lord and one Savior, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And you're supposed to serve Him and show the rest of the flock how to serve Him. And so elders need great wisdom to guide all the different kinds of sheep in their care. And this will only come as they know and follow Christ themselves. All right, elders, you're called to lead by example, to lead the people to Christ, to the very Christ that you know and love. So that is the call for elders. You have a public call, a Christ-like call, a comprehensive call. It's an eagerly answered call, and it's a call to lead by example. And that brings us then briefly to the goal for elders. Okay, the goal for elders. Peter says in verse 4, and when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. And so elders labor with specific goals in mind. And those goals center around the person of the chief shepherd. Jesus Christ. Ultimately, they serve Him in all their labors. They look forward to His appearing when they will see Jesus face to face. And as under-shepherds, they have specific things that they look forward to. First, they want to present the flock to the chief shepherd. Okay, they want to present the flock to the chief shepherd. The goal of every elder is to present every sheep in his care to Christ at the last day. Now, Christ, as the chief shepherd, is gathering in his sheep. He's bringing in lost sinners to faith and joining them to his people. And he puts Christians into local congregations and puts them into the care of local under-shepherds to be nurtured and prepared for glory. And the hope of every elder is that every sheep in his care will be closer to God than when Jesus first brought them into his care. And we don't want to lose any along the way or let any fall behind. We want every sheep to know the chief shepherd better because of our labors. That doesn't mean that every sheep will cooperate, but that is the goal of the elders. Now, the elders are responsible to provide God's people a nurturing place where you can grow in your relationship to the Lord and His people and find protection from spiritual danger. Okay, so you want to present the flock to the chief shepherd. That's your goal as an elder. And elders, you will present the flock to the chief shepherd, whether you want to or not. Every single member and child of this church is your responsibility. And you will explain to Jesus the kind of care you gave or didn't give to them. Now, that's something that everyone needs to keep in mind. Your elders must stand before Jesus one day and give an account for each one of you. They will have to explain every action or lack of action for every sheep during their time of service. And that should give you hope, especially when an elder abuses or neglects his authority. That your elders will report to the chief shepherd and be held accountable. But that also places upon them a great burden to provide for your spiritual welfare as best as they can. And you need to keep that in mind when they ask you personal questions like, how is your walk with the Lord? Are you reading your Bible? How is your prayer time? What are you struggling with? What can we pray for? Why are you listening to that false teacher? And so on. When they ask these questions, they're not being nosy. They're doing their job. They're trying to help you know the chief shepherd better. And because one day they will have to explain why you did or did not grow in your faith under their care. Now, so don't get defensive. Don't say, well, it's none of your business. Your relationship to Christ is their business. Your elders must ask you hard questions to bring you back to God's Word. And it makes you feel uncomfortable. But in the end, it will move you closer to Jesus, which is where you need to be. And so that's one goal of elders, to present the flock to the chief shepherd. Now, another goal is that they want to receive the approval of the chief shepherd. Notice again in verse 4, it says, "And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away." Now, the elder who perseveres and serves faithfully will be rewarded. And the idea of a reward is sometimes misunderstood. This isn't like a bonus check beyond the normal rewards of salvation. This is the award of praise. This is like the longing of a child striving to bring a smile to his father's face. That the elders want to hear from Christ, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And the only way that you as an elder will hear those words is by following the instructions of Peter here and answering the call. Now, that is the goal for elders. They long for the day when they will see the chief shepherd and present the flock to him and hear those words, "Well done." Or perhaps you can think of it in a different picture. You can think of the elders as your big brothers who must give an account to the parents how they have managed the family while the parents were away. I remember when I was younger, my sisters and I were at a friend's house, and one of my sisters was climbing a tree and fell out and broke her leg. And I wasn't sure what to do at the time, so I just picked her up and put her in my truck. That was hard because she was hurting and crying, and I accidentally banged her leg on the door as we tried to get her in. But we got her in, and we drove her home. I put her in bed and got her some ice, and we waited for the parents to come home. I couldn't fix her leg, but that was beyond my skill. But I did what I could, and my parents came home shortly after, and took her to the hospital, and they said, "Well done. And I did what I was able to do as a big brother," and they were pleased. Now, then that is the kind of reward that we want from the Lord as elders. You know, elders, that you're not perfect. You know that you often stumble, but your goal is to do everything you can as an elder or a big brother to bring your brothers and sisters closer to Christ for the healing and the grace that they need. And you want to hear Christ say to you, "Well done." So that is the call for the elder and the goal for the elder. I hope that helps you better understand and appreciate the role that God has for elders. And let me just conclude with a few more applications to think about. First is this, that you need shepherds. That you need shepherds. If Christ gave you shepherds, that means you need shepherds. And that's hard for many in our culture to understand. You don't like admitting that you need oversight and guidance. You don't like submitting to authority, even if it's for your own good. But if you truly love Christ, and if you truly want to grow more in your relationship with Him, then you need to humble yourself and see yourself as Jesus sees you, a sheep who needs protection and provision. You're not a rugged, self-sufficient individual. And you are a sheep in a dangerous wilderness in need of care. You need shepherds to help you, and Jesus has provided them in the church. You need shepherds. But secondly, you need good shepherds. You need good shepherds. God gives us plenty of descriptions to help you identify the kind of men who should be shepherds. But only the chief shepherd can provide them to you. And so you need to pray that God would give you good shepherds, and that God will preserve and keep the shepherds faithful that you do have. To pray that the elders would remain faithful to God and His Word. Encourage them in their work. Let them know that you're praying for them. And when you must correct them, do it constructively and in love. Right? Your elders want to serve well, too. And they are willing to receive correction. But in seeking good shepherds, you also need to be clear on both the duties and the limitations of an elder. An elder cannot change people's heart or grow the church simply by their own words or methods. And sometimes we expect too much from our elders. I remember a story from an old professor of mine. He was asked as a pastor at church, and one of his interview questions was, "How are you going to grow the church?" And he answered them, "I'm not going to grow the church. That's God's job. I'm going to preach the word and let God grow the church the way He sees fit." So we need to be careful. We don't confuse the work of the under-shepherds with the work of the chief shepherd. The elders have the ministry of the word and prayer and their example. And those are the tools that Christ has given them to work with. But Christ must be the one who changes hearts and grows His people through those instruments. And so as you evaluate and pray for good elders, keep that in mind. Don't expect more from your elders than what Christ has equipped them for. Elders must plant and water, but God must give the increase. And you need to call out to Christ to make the ministry of His shepherds fruitful. Right? His blessing is what makes their work abound. Okay? So you need shepherds, and you need good shepherds. And finally, you need growing shepherds. You need growing shepherds. The elders cannot serve the chief shepherd without the grace of the chief shepherd. Now, elders, you must continue to grow in your relationship with Christ. You must continue to grow in your relationship with the flock and with the dangers, and know about the dangers they face. And you must continue to grow in your shepherding ability. For your training does not stop when you get ordained. You must continue to grow. And congregation, you should expect your elders to grow. And don't be afraid to ask them what improvements they are working on or how you can pray for them. And if you see an area of weakness in the elders, don't be afraid to ask about it. I do it constructively and with gentleness, but don't be afraid to do it. And elders are fellow Christian brothers, and they need the fellowship of the saints just as much as everyone else. And they are still works in progress as well. They need to grow. And so pray that your elders would continue to grow in their relationship with Christ and their ability to serve you as shepherds. And the elder is called to lead by example. And that only means not only means leading in the way he serves and obeys Christ, but also in leading in the way that he continues to repent of sin. And Peter himself is a good example of this. Peter spoke here as a fellow elder, and look at Peter's life and ministry. Look at how often he failed in his work. And he betrayed Christ, and it was restored. And even after that, in Acts 10, Peter needed a vision from heaven and a knock at the door to get him out preaching to the Gentiles, even though Jesus already told him to do it before. In Galatians 2, Paul had to confront Peter about falling back into Jewish legalism and racism. Now, Peter was not only a model of obedience, but also a model of ongoing repentance. And elders must not be afraid to confess their sins and continue leading through your repentance. And so, you need shepherds. You need good shepherds, and you need growing shepherds. And it's important to keep this in mind, that Christ wants his shepherds to succeed. And he's not just throwing you out there to care for the sheep on your own. He wants his elders to succeed. And so, elders, you need to call upon him for the grace that you need to serve, and be assured that you will have it. And you as a congregation need to call upon Christ to give that grace to his leaders, and be assured that they will receive it. Right. So may the Lord help our elders to serve well, and raise up even more men willing to serve the chief shepherd, to provide for and care for God's flock. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. My gracious God and Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the provision that you have made for your people through this office of elder. We pray that those men who serve in this office now would serve well, that you would continue to help them grow in their relationship with you and in their abilities to serve in this office. We pray that you would make their labors fruitful. We pray for your people, that as sheep they would seek to follow the chief shepherd most of all, and that we as elders would be fruitful in pointing every member of this congregation to Christ over and over and over again. We pray that you would grant us great grace to be a flock that is pursuing not just the shepherds, but the chief shepherd. We do pray for all this in Jesus' name. Amen.